Well, good morning. Let's take a minute and forget about the popping sounds, whatever they are, and open our Bible to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, we're going to begin reading there in just one moment. Just let me say once again that it's so great to see you here and so great to be with you, to worship God together, to remember the death of Jesus, and to study from His Word. It's so great to do that with you. I don't know if you guys know this. I don't know if you guys feel the same way, but I certainly feel this way, that I do get to see you every week, but I do miss you on the days that I don't get to see you. And it's good to be with you today. You encourage me, you lift me up, and I am so glad to be here with you. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 35, the Bible says this: "Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay, but my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Faith is the conviction of things not seen. You know what that means, brothers and sisters? That means that faith, if you have faith, what that means is you trust in something that you can't see. Faith means you trust in something that you can't see. Now, typically, when we come to passages, or come to this passage, Hebrews 11 and verse 1, and we talk about how faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, usually we come to this passage to make a point about evidences, right? To talk about the evidence that supports our faith. We talk about the fact that we can believe in the existence of a God we can't see. And we can trust the inspiration of the Scriptures, and we can believe in the deity of Jesus, even though we didn't see His miracles. We talk about things, we talk about the evidence that supports our faith. And those conversations are good. In fact, last week in the 11 o'clock hour, we had one of those conversations about the evidence that supports our faith, why we should believe in a God that we can't see. But brothers and sisters, if we believe that that's all this verse is about, if we believe that that's all faith is about, whether or not you believe that God exists, we're missing something vital. Faith is about so much more than just whether or not you believe in the existence of God. As we saw at the end of chapter 10, the writer of Hebrews tells us the righteous live by faith. Faith is what makes the righteous man what he is. Faith, the ability, the willingness to trust in unseen things is what energizes the righteous. It is what motivates the righteous. It is the reason why the righteous person chooses the things that they choose. Faith, the willingness to believe in the unseen, it is the essential ingredient in the righteous person's life. It is the fundamental element. It is the lifeblood of Christians. The willingness to believe in unseen things. In fact, the writer of Hebrews would go on to say this in Hebrews 11 and verse 2. Hebrews 11 and verse 2, "For by it," that is by faith, "the men of old gained approval." Faith, the willingness to believe in things that we can't see, is ultimately how every person throughout the centuries, throughout the ages, has gained the approval of God. The righteous live by faith. It's so much more than just believing in the existence of God, although that's part of it. That's the first domino you knock over. It is the very way that the righteous people in this world live their lives. We walk by faith and not by sight. Now you may wonder, What does it mean? What's it mean that the righteous live by faith? Why do the righteous live by faith? And why is that the thing? Why is that the thing that the writer chooses to talk about? Why didn't he say the righteous live by love, or the righteous people live by self-control, or the righteous people live by humility? Why doesn't he use any other attribute there? Why is it that the righteous live by faith? Why is it that through faith we gain the approval of God? And the answer to that is twofold. Let me give you both of those answers. Why is it that the righteous live by faith? And the first answer to that is because it is through faith that we become righteous. It is through faith that we become righteous. Now, we know very well the message of Romans 3 and verse 23, right? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We know that every single person who lives long enough in this earth eventually chooses to be unrighteous. And they become guilty in the eyes of God. And God can no longer have a relationship with them because they've sinned. They've become unrighteous. But the message of Scripture, the emphatic message of Scripture, the good news of the gospel, is that even people who become unrighteous in the eyes of God can become righteous in His sight once again. And we become righteous again, the Bible tells us, through faith. That's the message of Romans 3 and verse 21. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. But it is the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction. You see, we are made righteous. We are made righteous through faith. And that's emphasized again in Ephesians 2 and verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. We are made righteous through our faith. Now, brothers and sisters, that does not mean that we become righteous simply because we believe in Jesus, okay? That's something we have to be very careful about. That does not mean that we become righteous simply because we believe in Jesus. Remember what James teaches us in James 2 and verse 19, right? Even the demons believe and tremble. We're not going to be saved just because we believe in Jesus. What that means, brothers and sisters, what it does mean is that I am saved because I trust in Jesus. There's a difference there. I am saved because I trust in Jesus. Even though I can't see Jesus, and even though I can't see His resurrection, I have faith. I trust in something I can't see. And because I have faith in Him, that trust moves me to seek salvation through Him. Right? The fact that even though I can't see Jesus, even though I can't see His resurrection, I believe that He existed. I believe that He was the Son of God. I believe He was raised from the dead. And for that reason, I trust in Him for my salvation rather than trusting in anything else. I'm depending on Jesus. And I'm going to seek salvation through Him rather than through any other means. You know, the Bible tells us what we must do in order to be saved by Christ. That's 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, right? Corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What Peter teaches us in that passage is that baptism is not some great work. What baptism is, it is how people ask Jesus to save them. Baptism is how I trust in Jesus. It's how I demonstrate my faith in Jesus. And so, brothers and sisters, we are saved through faith because our willingness to trust in things we can't see empowers us to obey God's plan for salvation. The righteous live by faith because through faith in Jesus, through trust in Him, we become righteous again. But let me show you this secondly. The righteous live by faith because through faith, we perform acts of righteousness in this world. You see, it is our willingness to trust in things that we can't see that empowers us to live our daily lives in a way that pleases God. There's no way, brothers and sisters, there's no way that I could live every single day in this world. There's no way I could do anything that pleases God in this world if I didn't have faith in things I can't see. You know, we always talk about the fact that we can't see God. We always talk about the fact that we can't see the miracles that Jesus performed. And so it requires faith for us to believe in those things. But what we don't often realize is that there are a whole lot of other things that we can't see that we must believe. Many, many other things that we can't see that we must believe. How about this? Matthew 6, verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Brothers and sisters, I can't see any of the treasure I've stored up in heaven, and neither can you. Has God given you a look at that? You see all the jewels, all the treasures that are in your heavenly treasure chest? I haven't seen them. But I have to believe. I have to believe in something I can't see. Because the only way I'm going to make those good choices, the only way I'm going to make those choices that lead to me storing up treasure in heaven is if I really believe that it's there. How about this? 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither is the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals. And he goes on in the next two verses to describe many more things. But what he says there, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of heaven? Brothers and sisters, I can't see that. Can you? Can you look beyond this world and see the unrighteous people who didn't make it to heaven? I can't see that. But if I'm going to avoid wickedness, if I'm going to choose to be pure and holy in God's sight, I have to believe in something that I can't see. Or how about this? In Galatians 6 and verse 9, where the apostle says, let us not become discouraged in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not become weary. You know, you can't see that either. You can't see the harvest that your righteousness is going to bring in. And sometimes you have to do good things for a long time without seeing any good result. But I believe in something I can't see, that eventually I will reap good things because of the good things that I've done in this world. I have to believe in what I can't see when it comes to the love of God as well. In Romans 8 and verse 38, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know what? I can't see that. Can you? I can't see that. And sometimes in this world it feels like that. When things go wrong, when things go sideways, when I have to endure suffering, when I have to endure persecution, when I have a hardship come into my life, it feels like I have been separated from the love of God. But so long as I stay in Christ, nothing can separate me from the love of God. I can't see that, but if I'm going to serve Him with my life, I have to believe in something I can't see. Our willingness to trust in the unseen is what empowers us to do the will of God in our daily lives. The only way I'm going to find this strength to be the kind of person God wants me to be is if I find myself willing to believe in unseen things. And actually, that's the whole point of Hebrews chapter 11, if you notice it. The whole point of Hebrews chapter 11 is that all of these people in this great hall of faith, all of these people gained the approval of God because they believed in things they couldn't see. Noah could not look ahead into the future and see the flood that was coming. He had no concept of that, right? He had no concept he had no way of measuring, no way of figuring out that the earth was going to be flooded with water and that there was going to be no dry land anymore. But he believed in something he couldn't see, and so he built an ark and he saved his family. And God called Abraham to leave his family, leave his homeland, leave everything he knew to go to a land that God wouldn't even tell him where he was going. And yet he believed in something he couldn't see, that God would take care of him, that God would come through on the promises he gave to him. And so he left, not knowing where he was going. Then you get down to verse 21 and 22, where it talks about Joseph, and it talks about how when Joseph was in Egypt as he was dying, he gave orders. He gave orders to his children, to his descendants, that when they left, they were to take his bones with him. It would not be for hundreds of years later until the children of Israel left Egypt. But Joseph knew by faith that they would go. He believed in something he couldn't see, that they wouldn't stay in Egypt forever, that they would leave. All of this is summed up well in verse 32 of Hebrews 11. Read that with me. And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. All of these people did things. Were able to do things because they believed in something that they couldn't see. Through faith we become righteous because through faith we perform acts of righteousness. The righteous live by faith. And throughout the centuries, that's how men and women have gained the approval of God. Throughout the centuries, that's what God has been looking for in each and every single person who's lived on this earth. He's been looking for all time. He's been looking for people who are willing to believe and trust in things they can't see. Because when a person truly believes in unseen things, God can make them into whatever he desires. God can use them to accomplish unthinkable things in this world if we truly are the people who believe in things we can't see. The righteous live by faith. And so that's the question that we have to ask ourselves. That's the question I want to lay on your heart this morning. Do you trust in things that you can't see? Do you live as if the things you can't see truly are reality? Now, the truth is, if you're anything like me, your answer to that question is sort of, or kind of, or a little bit, because it's hard. It's hard to trust in things you can't see. It's hard to believe that things are true when you can't put your eyes on them. That's why Abraham, that man of great faith who did amazing things because he had faith in God, that's why he struggled with his faith too. That's why he listened to his wife when she gave Hagar to him and said, "Here, you create a descendant with my maid." That's why when he went to Egypt, he lied about whether or not Sarah was his wife because he struggled. It's hard to believe in things you can't see. So when we ask ourselves that question, do I truly live as if the things I can't see are real? The answer is sort of, kind of, a little bit. I believe in God, but you know, I'm having a really tough time choosing to store up treasure in heaven rather than storing up treasure on earth. Or I believe in God, but I'm having a really tough time choosing to forgive others like God has forgiven me. Or I believe in God, but I'm having a really tough time choosing to do what Jesus said and not live in fear of things that can kill the body but can't kill the soul. That's hard. It's incredibly difficult. And sometimes we look at ourselves and we say, I have a little bit of faith, but I need more. I have some faith, but I want more. And the good news is, brothers and sisters, that there is a way to build faith. There are things we can do that will strengthen our faith and increase our willingness to believe in things we can't see. And as we conclude our lesson, I want to give you three things. Three things that the Bible says you can do that will increase your faith, that will make you stronger, that will help you be more willing to believe in things you can't see and act on that belief. Let me say this first of all. One of the ways that we build greater faith is through hearing. Now, I imagine you expected that was coming, right? You probably expected this was coming too, right? Romans 10 and verse 17. This is probably the verse everyone was thinking of, where the Bible says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. That passage teaches us that our ability, our willingness to trust in unseen things, it comes by hearing the stories within the word of God. Now, it is true that that passage, I think primarily, that passage is talking about salvation. Primarily, that passage is talking about the words of this book, right? The prophecies about Jesus and the gospels that talk about his life. The words of this book are made to produce faith in you. And produce faith in you to the point where you believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and you're willing to seek salvation in him through baptism, right? I think that's the primary point. But I don't think that's the only way we can apply this. I think it goes beyond that. I think that also means that after I've been saved, the things that I read in this book, it gives me faith. It gives me faith to make those important daily decisions that I have to make in my walk with God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the word of Christ. The stories within this book give me faith to not grow anxious, to not worry, to not lose my cool when I face a financial hardship. Because what I read in this book is I read stories of God taking care of his people like he did for the Israelites in the wilderness when he provided manna out of heaven in Exodus chapter 16. And when I read the words of this book, it gives me faith. It gives me faith to not engage in some secret sin, because I believe and I know that no sin is secret from God. And I learned that in the story of David and Bathsheba. And when I read the stories in this book, it gives me faith to endure persecution, to endure ill treatment from other people who don't believe. Because I know that God is there and he sees and he is willing to help, just like he was when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fiery furnace. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes from the word of Christ. So if you want more faith, brothers and sisters, if you want greater faith, listen. Listen to the words. Listen to the stories. Because the stories in this book were written and they were recorded so that you would come to them and you would read them. And when you did, you would come to this conclusion. If God did that for them, he can do the same thing for me. That's why those stories are there for us. Let me say this secondly. You can increase your faith. You can build greater faith by hearing. But you can also build greater faith by asking. In Luke chapter 17, Jesus delivers an unthinkable command to his apostles, his disciples. Luke 17 verse 3, he says, "Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times a day and returns to you seven times saying, 'I repent,' you shall forgive him." And the disciples have an unforgettable response to that, right? Look at what he says in verse 5. Look at what they say. The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." This is such a difficult command, such a hard thing to do. The apostles look at Jesus and they say, "Look, if we're going to practice radical forgiveness like that, we're going to need much more faith. If we're going to be able to do that, we're going to have to believe so much more in things we can't see." It's a difficult command. And so the disciples ask for more faith. And that's often how it works. Some of the most difficult commands, the resolution to them is more faith. And we need to do what they did. We can do the same thing they did. Through Jesus, we have an avenue to God. We have an avenue to make requests of God, to make petitions of God. We call that prayer. And we need to make sure that we're using that avenue so that we can build greater faith. If we ask God for greater faith, don't you think he would give it to us? Seeing how important it is, don't you think he would grant it to us? The Bible teaches us in Matthew 7 that God is a good father. He is a good father who wants to give good gifts to his children. Bigger faith is a good gift. So pray to God. Ask your good Father for that good gift. Ask and you shall receive. Let me say this thirdly. We can increase our faith by hearing. We can increase our faith by asking and making petitions of God. And by the way, let me add this. I forgot to say this. There may be a multitude of different ways he may answer that request when you ask for more faith, right? He may do that by bringing some kind of reassuring thing into your life and helping you feel better about the decision you're about to make or the decision you have to make. He may also do that by bringing you to a point in your life where you have no other option but to depend on him and lean on him totally because all the other crutches have been kicked out from underneath you. That can happen too. Who knows how God will give you more faith, but if you ask for it, you'll get it some way, somehow. But let me say this thirdly, you can increase your faith by tasting. Let me explain what I mean by that. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Psalm 34 and verse 8, where David writes this, Taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Before we were parents, when we were living back in Texas, Leah and I had a tradition. So after every elders meeting that I would attend, I would go home, I'd pick her up, and we'd go to the Cheesecake Factory. Now you should know this was once a month elders meeting and not once every 2 weeks, which helps. But we would go once a month to Cheesecake Factory, and we would sit down, we would order one piece of cheesecake, we'd split it, and I'd order my cup of coffee, and we'd sit there, and we'd just catch up on the stuff throughout the day that had happened. And through that process, she and I actually managed to try every single cheesecake at the Cheesecake Factory. So if you want to know which one's the best, it's white chocolate raspberry truffle. And there's nothing's even close to second best, okay? And I know, I've had them all. So I want you to imagine that. What do you think would have happened if when Lee and I go to the Cheesecake Factory and they bring out that one piece of cheesecake and they bring those two forks, what would have happened if I would have grabbed Leah's fork, put it on the seat next to me, grabbed that plate, slid it over in front of me, looked at Leah and said, okay, now I'm going to eat this whole cake. And I'm not going to let you have any. But don't worry, I'll tell you how it tastes. How's that going to go? Right? She's going to slap me, grab my fork, pull the plate in front of her and says, I'll tell you how it tastes. You and I both know that it's not going to work for me to just tell her how it tastes. And that doesn't work because there is a difference. There's a difference between hearing about someone else's experience and tasting it for yourself. It is not enough to have someone describe it to you. The only way to really see how good it is to take a bite for yourself. And that's really what David is daring us to do. In Psalm 34. You know, he spent the first 7 verses of that psalm talking about how great God has been for him and how much God has come through for him and saved him and been there for him and rescued him. And David says, you know, I could go on and on and on and on and on, and I could tell you all about all the different ways that God has helped me and rescued me, but it's not going to be the same as when you try it for yourself. The only way you're really going to see just how good God is, just how faithful God is when you take a bite and see for yourself. David dares us to go out on that limb, to try trusting God, and to see what happens. And if we really want to increase our faith, that's what we're going to have to do. It's not enough to build our faith to just sit back and listen, to just sit back and read. That will build faith, but not just by itself. What we have to do if we really want to strengthen and build our faith is we have to taste and see for ourselves. We have to go out this week and do that thing that scares us. We have to go out this week and do something that I haven't had the faith to do yet. And I have to go out and see. I have to taste and see. Trust God just a little bit, just for a moment. Just try it. See what happens when I do. David says, when you trust him, when you taste and see, you'll find that he is good. That's how we build our faith. By hearing, asking, and tasting. The righteous live by faith, brothers and sisters. And as those who are striving to please Jesus, building and strengthening our faith ought to be of utmost importance. Because only when I live as if unseen things are real, can God do the things with me that he's been planning on doing. And I want to remind you that if you are here and if you've never been baptized, right now is a wonderful opportunity to demonstrate your faith today. As we said before in this lesson, we are not saved because we simply believe in Jesus. Even the demons believe in Jesus. We are saved because we trust in Jesus, because we depend on him for our salvation. We are saved because he told us how to be saved, and we trusted him enough to do that. In Mark 16 and verse 15, the Bible says this, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. If you truly believe in Jesus, if you truly trust Jesus, then trust him to provide salvation for you today. He said he would do that. If you believed in him, you're willing to repent of your sins. You're willing to confess your faith in him. And you're baptized in water to have those sins washed away. That's when he saves us. If you need to do that today, demonstrate your faith in him now. Come to the front. We'll help you while we stand and while we sing.